We are reading from the scriptures in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. This is one of the best loved, best known stories in the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus. The day that Jesus went to Jericho, the city of palms. When we lived in Brazil, we lived in the heart of the jungle there in a little town, and we had lots of palms around our house. As a matter of fact, we had coconut trees and mango trees and lime trees and orange trees, and so it goes on. Passion fruit galore. So it was in this great city of Jericho, the breadbasket of Israel, it's known even to this very day. And so we're going to the story, and we read in verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And amen, God always blesses to us the reading of his sacred word. Just to punctuate that verse 9, when it said, And Jesus said, This day is salvation come to this house. I don't know, I'm absolutely sure you've red letter days in your life, days that you look back on, birthdays, anniversary. I say that because my wife's here this evening, and this month is her birthday month. I can tell her that so that she knows I haven't forgotten. But also this month I'll be 60 years converted, and what a joy it is to look back in 60 years of the grace of God. I was a 16-year-old boy back in those days, and what a change the Lord Jesus made in my life. I say a red letter day because the 2nd of June 1966, or 1996 rather, was a special day for a young man by the name of Scott O'Grady. Scott O'Grady was 28 years of age. He was a flight lieutenant in the United States Air Force. He was flying on that particular day from his air base in northern Italy over Bosnia, which at that time was in terrible trouble, the war that was in that area. And his mission as he flew at 38,000 feet was to enforce the no-fly zone that had been imposed on that country. His flight that day seemed to be a normal flight, as he had done it routinely in other days, that is, until suddenly, unexpectedly, his aircraft was hit by a ground-to-air missile. And in that moment, not only did the aircraft explode, but he was ejected out of the cockpit into the nothingness of the air at 38,000 feet. Now, I have some friends who don't like to fly inside an aircraft at 38,000 feet. Can you imagine what it must have been outside the aircraft at that moment? He said that he felt he was in the jaws of death. As a matter of fact, there flashed before his mind his parents back in the United States, the church that was praying for him, the Sunday school teacher that had taught him. And feeling that he was eyeball to eyeball with death, he called upon God for mercy and asked God to save him. As he began to tumble to earth, very soon the parachute opened, and he made a soft landing, but he had to hide because the Serbs were hunting for him with bayonets. And therefore, for the next 10 days, he hid in the brushland of that land of Bosnia until 10 brave airmen went in and rescued Scott O'Grady. He afterwards wrote a book. As a matter of fact, a movie was made about his life, Behind Enemy Lines. But in his book he said that he was grateful for so many things that happened on that day. He was thankful for the ejection seat that put him outside the aircraft. He was thankful that he was saved because of a parachute that was opened. He was saved because of the providence of God. For 10 days he was eating berries and insects just to stay alive. He was grateful for his colleagues who had gone in to rescue him. But said Scott O'Grady, "I am forever faithful that at that height, 38,000 feet, I called upon God for mercy and found that Jesus Christ is able to save unto the uttermost." If you're a Christian tonight, you may be able to look back to a time, a place, I don't think at 38,000 feet outside an aircraft, but nonetheless a special time when Jesus Christ came into your life, turned you around, made you a new creature, forgave you all of your past, and gave to you the assurance of heaven and home. I say I look back on that day, but here the Lord Jesus, again, he said, "This day is salvation come to this house." This man Zacchaeus, I am sure that he looked back on that day. As a matter of fact, I like to think, as I've gone to Jericho many times, and see in that town the sycamore trees, I like to think that Zacchaeus, on that day, on that date, on that anniversary, would go back to the old sycamore tree, sit down under its shadows, and begin to remember all that happened on that day. It not only impressed upon his heart, it absolutely changed his life. And just for these moments, I would like to give to you what I think the thoughts that might have filled his heart as he sat down and remembered that red letter day in his life. I think the first thing he might have remembered was that that meeting with Jesus was the first and last opportunity of his life. I say the first opportunity because Jesus Christ had never been to Jericho before. Never before had his voice echoed over the walls of that city. Never before had his feet walked through the dusty streets of the city of Jericho. This was the first time for Jesus to come to Jericho. The first time for Zacchaeus to hear Jesus, meet Jesus, talk with Jesus. I say that this evening because as I look around my congregation, I don't know this evening that this might be your first time in Abbots Cross Congregational Church. It may be the first time that you're sitting not only in a harvest Thanksgiving service, but an evangelistic service. For many years, Audrey and I, we traveled on rivers as pioneer missionaries, bringing the gospel to men and women who had never heard of Christ before, never heard the gospel before. And we look back with joy and remember those times when people, on first hearing the gospel, embraced Christ, received him into their heart. And just like Zacchaeus, why, Jesus Christ turned them right around, made them new creatures. They were saved, converted by the grace of God. And so it was for Zacchaeus. This was the first opportunity. But he didn't know that it would be the last opportunity. He must have been grateful to God because, thank God, he embraced that opportunity without knowing it was the last opportunity. Jesus had never been to Jericho before. Jesus would not be coming back to Jericho again. He was on his way to Jerusalem. He was on his way to the cross. And therefore, Zacchaeus must have been glad that he received Christ on the final opportunity. I say that this evening because perhaps it's not the first time you're sitting in a gospel service, but you're still out of Christ. And my friend, tonight can I say, you don't know and I don't know, but this could be the last opportunity of hearing the gospel. This could be the last gospel service that you will ever sit in. Too often, my friend, have we followed the hearse to the cemetery place, the resting place, where a young life has suddenly been cut off. The Bible reminds me, my friend, that we should not boast of tomorrow. We don't know what a day may bring forth. I remember when we lived in Tarawaka and the church was founded and week after week people were being converted. But there was a man who sat at the back. His name was Valdemar. He sat near the door because he always wanted to be first out at the end of the meeting. I remember when I would go to the door, he'd grab my hand and he'd say, "Pastor, I really enjoyed the message tonight." And I used to hold on to his hand and say, "Valdemar, when are you coming to Christ?" "Oh, one day I'll get saved. Pastor, one day I'll come to Christ." And with this, he'd loose my hand and go out into the darkness. I never forget that last night that he did that. Again, he held my hand and just gave a nod of the head and said, "One day I'm coming." Next morning at 5:30, I was called to identify a body. And when I got there, the stiffened form of Valdemar was lying on a back street of Tarawakan. He was only in his 50s and suddenly a heart attack had taken him away. The stopping of the heart. My friend, a breath away from eternity. And in that night, it was his last opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. That's why I say this evening, if you're not a Christian, my friend, I tell you to come to Christ tonight. Make it the business of your life. Jesus said that we are to strive to enter into the kingdom of God. Make it the priority of your life that tonight you'll come to Jesus Christ. That's exactly what Zacchaeus must have been glad that he did. It was the first, it was the final opportunity to come to Jesus Christ. My friend, I say this evening, he must have looked back on that day with gratitude. It was not only a day of first and final opportunity, but he must have looked back and thought, why, it was a day of personal curiosity. Why, this story is all about seeking. The Bible says that Zacchaeus came seeking to see Jesus where he was. The Bible also says that Jesus came to Jericho to seek for Zacchaeus. May I just remind you, that's exactly how it is with our Savior this evening. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish. Audrey and I are reading through the book of the Revelation these days, and we are absolutely taken aback for the things that await this world, the judgments of God that are to come. And what is it that says the judgment of God? It is his long suffering. The Apostle Peter says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. My friend, can I say this evening, our Savior is seeking you. He wants to save you. But on the other hand, here is this man who was seeking Jesus, Zacchaeus. Sometimes I've asked myself the question, what is it that caused Zacchaeus to seek Jesus? He was the richest man in town. He was the chief of the publicans, says the Bible. Well, I think there were several reasons. First of all, it might well have been the miracle that had happened in Jericho. The Bible tells us in the previous chapter that as Jesus entered into Jericho, there was a man called Bartimaeus. He was a blind man and a beggar. Perhaps a beggar because he was blind. He couldn't work. He was sitting at the gate of the city with an outstretched palm, hoping that the pilgrims on the way to Jerusalem would put a shekel in the hand of the poorest man in Jericho. But when he heard the commotion and asked who it was, they said, "It's Jesus of Nazareth." The Bible tells us that with a loud voice, Bartimaeus said, "Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy upon me." And as he came to Christ, he received his sight. The first face he saw was the face of Jesus. And the Bible tells us he followed him. Wouldn't you do that if Jesus did that for you? Just to see Christ, Bartimaeus followed Jesus. Now, can you imagine that miracle? The news getting around Jericho. I mean, it must have touched every part of the town. We lived in a little town called Canutama in Brazil. In our town, we didn't have any newspapers or radio. And for news to get around town, it depended on our neighbor, Dona Emilia. I mean, she knew everything that went on in town, and that's how it was, I think, in Jericho. Just word spread around. And when Zacchaeus heard that Jesus did a miracle for the poorest man in town, he must have thought, what can he not do for the richest man in town? And therefore, he came seeking Jesus. My friend, can I say this evening, riches do not satisfy. Here is a man who, in spite of his riches, the Bible tells us he came running to Jesus. Not only running to see who Jesus was, but running away from the emptiness. He'd climbed the social ladder and got to the top and found that his heart was empty. His life was void. He needed someone else. He needed something more. And that's why he came running to Jesus. Aristotle Onassis was the richest man of his generation. He died quite a few years ago. But as he lay dying, it is said that he wept and said, "I am the richest man in the world, but the most miserable man in the world." Why? Because his heart was empty. That's how it was with Zacchaeus. I think when he heard of the miracle that happened to Bartimaeus, he felt, if Jesus could do that for Bartimaeus, what can he not do for me? I think the other reason that he came to Jesus might well have been because of a man called Matthew. I've taken groups all over the world, and we've taken them to America and to Brazil, and just this week to Spain. And it's quite amazing, wherever you take people, nurses want to go and see hospitals. Firemen want to go and see the fire station. Policemen want to go and see the local police station. Matthew, one of the followers of our Lord, had been a tax collector, a publican. I'm quite sure that when he got to Jericho, he must have wanted to go and see the local tax collecting office. You know, they say in Jerusalem, you've heard of the Wailing Wall. Well, the Wailing Wall really is the tax office. Nobody likes to give money there. And so it was. Matthew might well have gone to the publican's office, the tax office. And as he got talking perhaps to Zacchaeus, he might have said to Zacchaeus, "I was a publican. I was a tax collector. Where were you?" He says, "I lived in Capernaum, up there in Galilee." He says, "I want to tell you that I found something that's far better than collecting taxes." And Zacchaeus might well have said to him, "You found something better, something that's got better treasure?" And I think Matthew might well have said, "I didn't find something, I found someone. I found Jesus. I found that now none but Christ can satisfy. No other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus found in thee." And as he shared with Zacchaeus all about Jesus, my friend, Zacchaeus might well have thought, if Jesus can do that for Matthew, what can he not do for me? That's exactly how it is. Stuart Hamlin was a great friend of John Wayne. They lived in Hollywood together, and when Stuart Hamlin was converted, his life was changed around. He said to John Wayne, "Why, God has done a wonderful thing for me." And he tried to convince John Wayne to receive Christ. John Wayne said to him, "Stu, that's a great thing that has happened to you, but it could never happen to a guy like me." So this Stuart Hamlin said, "John, it's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you." John Wayne said, "That would make a great song. Why don't you write it, Stuart?" And so we know the song. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. It is reported by the daughter of John Wayne that one day, as John Wayne listened to the radio, he listened to the radio preacher, and there at the side of the bed, he knelt and received Christ, as Stuart Hamlin had done many years before. My friend, can I say that perhaps in your life, someone in your family has been converted? Someone where you work has trusted the Lord. Their lives have been changed, and you've thought, What has happened to them? Could it happen to a guy like me? Could it happen to a girl like me? I tell you this evening, thank God it can. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And my friend, all over this meeting tonight, I want to say that Jesus is able to save all who come to him. I thank God again, as I say, that as a 16-year-old boy, I came to Christ and he turned my life around. And it's no secret, he can do the same for you. Zacchaeus remembered the opportunity, the first and the last. He remembered the curiosity, the miracle, and Matthew. He wanted to see Jesus. I think that he must have felt his necessity. You see, when you read the story, it's a very interesting story in that the Bible tells us in the story his name was Zacchaeus, but that's not what people called him. Some people call him a publican. Reminded us of his position, the tax collector, the rich man of Jericho. Other people call him a sinner. You know, many times we've got nicknames. I remember when we lived in Brazil. I was in the northeast of Brazil visiting a little town, and Audrey had gone to visit somewhere. And in the center of town, there was what they called a supermarket. I mean, on the shelves, there was nothing. There was cream crackers and spaghetti. We have another name for it out there. But I just was killing time. But I heard a girl say to another girl as they sat at the couch desk, one said to the other, "Who's that fat man that came in?" They were talking about me, eh? They didn't know my name, so they just saw me, and that's what they called me. Well, I'll tell you, I didn't buy cream crackers or spaghetti. I left the shop immediately and drifted into another shop. And then the other shop, again, I was just perusing around, and the fellow and the girl were at the couch desk, and one said to the other, "Who's that old fellow that's come in?" They were talking about me again, eh? They didn't know my name, so they called me by what they perceived. That's exactly how it was for Zacchaeus. People may not have known him by name, but they called him the publican, the rich man. My friend, can I say, as I've already said, that being a publican, getting to that position, filling the house with all that he needed, filling his pockets with all that he had, it didn't fill his heart. It left his heart empty. And that was the necessity of his heart. There are people who think, my friend, that if only they get all the toys around them and buy all that they need in this life. Can I say this? That 100 years from now, it will not matter what house you lived in, what car you drove, what clothes you wore. What will matter is what you did with Jesus. What will matter, my friend, is if you had Christ or you were without Christ. That's what will matter. They called him a public. They called him a sinner. I can see those Pharisees saying of Jesus, "Jesus has gone to the house of a man who is a sinner." They didn't say he'd gone to Zacchaeus' house. They just said he's gone to the sinner's house. Isn't it amazing how popular sin is? Everybody likes to talk about sin, but it's always the sin of others. That's why the newspapers are filled with it every day. Crime and abuse and we hear it everywhere. But can I say that as those Pharisees pointed their finger and said he's gone to the house of a man who's a sinner, three fingers were pointing back at them. These fingers say, there is none good, there is none that doeth right. Why, they've all gone astray. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, can I say that this man felt the emptiness because although he was rich, he didn't have Christ. He felt his sinfulness. Because people knew that he was a sinner. He knew that he was a sinner. My friend, can I say that's why Jesus came into the world? He came to save sinners. That's why he went to the cross of Calvary. The Bible says Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The apostle Peter said he, his own self, bore our sin on his own body on the tree. The prophet Isaiah said that he made himself an offering for our sin. That's what Jesus did. And this man felt the emptiness of his heart. He felt the sinfulness of his heart. However, the Lord Jesus had another name for this man. While people called him a publican and others called him a sinner, why, Jesus said that he was lost. The Bible says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. My friend, if you're not a Christian tonight, that's exactly how the Bible describes you. Lost. Lost is perhaps one of the most haunting words of the Bible. Lost. To be lost in time and to be without Christ, my friend, is a disaster. But to be lost in eternity without Christ forever, my friend, can I say that is the torment of a Christless, dark eternity without God and without Christ. This man realized that he was lost. If people could only realize the lostness of their heart. When we lived in Brazil, we were traveling on those rivers, as I told you, in a place called Boa Vista. We had held meetings. A number of people had been converted, and they said, "Pastor, would you stop in here on the way downriver?" We'd already arranged by radio where we would stop coming downriver in a month's time. And so I told them I'd be at a place called Sumaré. When we got to Sumaré, almost a month later, these people incidentally had said, "We'll walk to Sumaré. It's 4 hours through the jungle. We want to get there to that meeting in a month's time." So we set the date. As it so happened, when we got to Sumeray a month later, we got there about 5:30, 6 o'clock at night, it was dark. The lady made us some rice and eggs, and only about 15, 20 people had gathered around, and we were about to have a meeting, but our friends from Boa Vista had not arrived. Just as we were starting the meeting, it had been a damp night. The sky, you couldn't see stars or moon. But just as we were about to start the meeting, we could hear the sound of gunfire echoing in the jungle. Boom, boom, boom. It was our friends. They had set out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon to walk 4 hours through the jungle. But a tropical downpour came down, enveloped them in the mist and wet of the jungle. And there in the jungle, they got lost. Lost in the darkness. Lost in the night. There were no directions. They didn't know where to go. And so when they realized they were lost, they took their shotguns and began to shoot into the air to give the sound. Our friends heard them. They took their shotguns and began to answer back. And by the location of sound, the lost ones were found. My friend, tonight, if you could realize that you're lost, then the shot that you give is simply this, to call upon the name of the Lord. I'll tell you this, thank God he's near to save. He's here to save. The Bible says, my friend, that if you call upon him, he'll come in. If you come to him, he'll never cast you out. And so it was for this man Zacchaeus. He felt his necessity. Can I say something else as we hurry on? Here's a man who must have remembered not only the opportunity of that day, not only the curiosity of that day and the necessity of his heart, but he remembered the urgency of that day. The Bible says that when he came to Jesus, he came running. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if me came running to Jesus Christ? My friend, I'll tell you this. There's such an urgency in the matter of salvation. You need to run to Jesus Christ. The Bible says today is the day of God's salvation. There was not only urgency because he ran to Jesus, but the Bible tells us that when our Savior, who was seeking for Zacchaeus, came to the sycamore tree where Zacchaeus was. You'll remember the story. He climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus as he passed by. But Jesus didn't pass by. Jesus knew exactly where Zacchaeus was. He knew who Zacchaeus was. He knew what Zacchaeus needed. He came to the tree and he stopped and he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus. Did he say, Zacchaeus, come down? No. The Bible said, he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. That word haste just simply means hurry up. It sounds a bit Irish to say hurry up and come down, but you know what it means, eh? It means be urgent about it. Hurry up. My friend, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus would say to you this evening. It's a matter of coming to Christ with urgency. And the Bible tells us that Zacchaeus was haste. He hurried up and came down the tree and received Jesus Christ and took the Savior home with him. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing for you to do tonight? To take Jesus Christ home with you tonight. You need to hurry up and do it. And so Zacchaeus remembered the urgency of that day. Finally, can I say that as Zacchaeus took Jesus home, he went home with a blessed certainty in his heart that his life was changed, that he was saved, forgiven. As a matter of fact, he said to the Lord, I've opened my house, I've opened my heart. If I've defrauded anyone, I'll restore him 4 times. And he called Jesus his Lord. My friend, here is our blessed Lord. He had not only transformed this man's house and changed this man's habits, but here is our blessed Lord who had changed this man at his heart. And that's what Jesus Christ can do. That's why the Bible speaks, my friend, of being a brand new creature in Jesus Christ. That is why the Bible speaks of you being born again. It is the beginning of a brand new life. This new life is not joining a church. It is receiving Christ into your heart, confessing to him that you are a sinner, and knowing that Jesus Christ comes in to stay and gives to you this assurance of great salvation. Zacchaeus looked back on that day and thanked God for the urgency. I finish this word this evening reminding you again of a story that we remember in the Amazon. We were at a place called Bakadaru. We had had a meeting the previous night. The next morning, we extracted teeth. And at 7:30 that morning, Audrey was putting the instruments away when I spied a man coming down river in a dugout canoe, paddling for all he was worth, one side, and then paddling the other. I was sure he wanted to have some teeth removed, and he brought his canoe into the side of the river, came running down the sandbar. And when he got to where we were, out of breath, he said to me, "Are you the missionaries? Are you the missionaries?" I said, "I'd like to speak with you." So Audrey made him coffee and was set down at the side of the canoe. And he said this to me. He said, "I lived on the river Itushi. And 3 years ago, a missionary by the name of Frederico, Fred Orr it was, he was traveling on the river and he had a black book. And he spoke to us about Jesus and about salvation and how we could be forgiven and be ready for heaven." He said, "I heard the message, but I didn't receive Jesus as Savior. And I've prayed every day for 3 years. I've been praying every day, God, give me one more chance. Just one more opportunity and I'll trust Christ." He said, "I heard that you were here and I've come a day's journey because I want to get saved." My friend, you don't have to go that sort of journey tonight. You're here. God is here. And the Bible says all that is necessary tonight is for you to call upon God for mercy and ask God to save you. And He'll do it. I look back to that day of my life and say, "Oh, happy day that fixed my choice. On Thee, my Savior and my God, well may this glowing heart rejoice to tell its raptures all abroad." I trust tonight that you will come to Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, this evening we thank you that Jesus Christ is such a wonderful Savior. Thy word reminds us that God sent His Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Our Father, bless this congregation. You know each person here present. And we ask of Thee tonight that You'll give to those amongst us who are not Christians the grace to take that step and come to Christ this very night. Give them the grace to do what they need to do. Give them the grace to do what they will be glad they've done in that day when they stand before Thee in the great eternity. Help them to come to the Savior. So bless Thy word to every heart, we pray. For these things we ask in our Savior's name and for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.